Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Last week in Matt Bassing's class, we studied about prayer. It was a deviation from our study of Hebrews, but someone had asked a question about prayer, and Matt devoted the class to answering that question. And the more I thought about that class and the questions that were asked, the insightful answers and comments that were given, I thought, we all need that. It's not just this class, but we all do. So this morning, I just borrowed from Matt's class, and I want to talk about prayer. Here in Luke chapter 11, the disciples make a request of Jesus. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, it wasn't that they didn't know how to pray. They'd grown up praying. They'd grown up in the synagogues, and they'd seen them, seen the prayers that were there. They'd seen the rabbis pray. They had listened to the repetitious prayers of the priest. They had heard the loud and sanctimonious prayers of the Pharisees on the street corners. So they were acquainted with prayer. It wasn't that. But Jesus' prayers were different. A lot different. In fact, they had seen him slip away in the wilderness to pray, like we read in Luke 5 and verse 16. They'd seen him go up into the mountains by himself to pray, like Matthew 14 and verse 23. They'd seen him spend the whole night in prayer to God, like Luke 6 and verse 12. They had seen him so often bow in prayer, like he did in Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 37. And they've seen how that he would be renewed and recharged, and how that he seemed changed after he talked to his father. And they wanted that. And so they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Not teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. And there's a difference. Now, Jesus did give them some instruction about how to pray. But he taught them to pray. And it's so important, I think, for us to learn to pray. So what do we learn from these passages in Luke? Well, first of all, we learn that Jesus said, you need to pray. You have not because you ask not, James says. We need to pray. And he gave them a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer, and it's very familiar to all of us. We have one here in Luke chapter 11, and the more familiar version is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. But it's probably should be more accurately entitled the Disciples' Prayer or the Model Prayer. The Lord's Prayer was the one that he's prayed to his Father to bless these, not these only, but for all of them that shall believe on me through their name, that they might be one, Father, even as thou art in me and I in thee. Now that was the Lord's Prayer. But nevertheless, Jesus gave this model prayer. And he starts off by saying, Our Father. God is our Father. And what a wonderful way to picture God. Because so many people do not have this concept of God. There are many who think of God as way off somewhere. He just kind of put this world in motion and kind of waiting somewhere down the road. He's going to come back and throw people in hell. And you got that concept of God, it's no wonder you can't pray. Or it doesn't seem like your prayers are doing any good. But you see God as your Father. I loved talking to my father. He was a wise man. Very wise man. I wished, young people, a thousand times a thousand that I had my daddy back where I could talk to him. I know that sometimes you don't really talk to your parents, your father, like you should, because they just kind of seem out of touch. Well, I'm going to tell you, they're a whole lot more in touch than you think. And while you got a chance, talk to your daddy. You might be surprised at some of the things you have to talk about. Jesus said, you began by saying, Our Father. And then we treat God as the divine being that he is. Hallowed be thy name. In Exodus 20, verse 7, the third commandment was, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We are to treat God as the divine being that He is. And then God as a sovereign. Your kingdom come. Now we can't pray in the same way, your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus was teaching His disciples on this occasion, because the kingdom has already come. The kingdom is the church. And it came on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 1 and 2 we see. But we can pray that this world make God their sovereign king of their hearts. And then we pray to God as a provider. Give us this day our daily bread. God is the source of all of our blessings. We read that in James chapter 1 and verse 17. We come to God as the judge who holds our destiny in His hands. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. We come to God as our protector. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God doesn't tempt us with evil. We again learn that from James 2, James chapter 1 and verse 13. God can't be tempted with evil, and He doesn't tempt any man with evil. But we're praying to God to protect us from that evil. F.V. McFadden said in this analogy, the forgiveness of sin is the cure for a snake bite. Then this part of the prayer seeks to keep us out of snake-infested area. Lead us not into temptation. And so what we have here is our present need. Give us this day our daily bread. We have our past needs. Forgive us of our sins and our future needs. Lead us not into temptation. So much more can be said about this model prayer. But it wasn't the way you pray that makes a prayer acceptable to God. In fact, I've had people ask me, "Preacher, how do I pray? What do I say?" I say, it's hard to pray wrong if you pray from your heart. You just can't pray wrong if you pray from your heart. It's not the length of your prayer. It's not the big words that you use to pray. It's whether or not it comes from your heart. One of the books that was written by Richard Foster when he wrote about prayer, the title of his book was Finding the Heart's True Home. God told Jeremiah, "You call to me and I will answer you." Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. And Jesus Himself said, "All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Matthew 21 verse 22. So the first lesson that Jesus gave His disciples about praying was you need to pray. Now think about the song. It says, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We will never be discouraged if we take it to the Lord in prayer. James 4 verse 2, you have not because you ask not. So, you know, if you don't pray, how can we expect God to answer the prayers we do not ask? So the first thing that we learn from the Jesus' answer to His disciples about teach us to pray is you've got to pray. The second thing is be persistent. And this was one of the questions. This was actually the question that initiated the discussion in our class. Is it all right to ask God for the same thing over and over again? And the answer is yes. Because this is what Jesus pointed out here to his disciples. He says that, you know, he tells this parable and it's got a little humor in it. Jesus often put a little humor in his sayings, his parables. But he talked about how that someone has come to visit this man and he doesn't have enough food for him and he's really embarrassed. And so he goes to his friend and it's at night and he knocks on his friend's door and he says, I need to borrow some bread from you. And his friend says, well, we're already in bed. The kids are already asleep. No. And Jesus says in verses 5 and 8 here, he says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his, watch this now, persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And Jesus was using the analogy of real life stuff back then, because there weren't any hotels, not very many inns. And so if a stranger, much less a friend, came and wanted to stay with you, you were obliged to take him in. But the purpose of this parable is not to teach that God is a reluctant friend who has to be begged for help. The whole point is that God wants to give. And if a friend would get up and give you something after you were persistent with him, how much more will God give to you because he wants to give to you to begin with? Look at verse 13. It says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So the whole parable is that God wants to give to us. And certainly it's all right to ask God for the same thing over again. Look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 22 beginning. He asked God several times, God, would you not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if I could find 50 righteous? 45, then 40, then 30, then 20, then 10. And what about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8? How many times had he asked God about the thorn in his flesh? I know at least 3 times here before God finally gave him an answer and said, I'm not going to take the thorn away, but I will give you enough grace. I'll give you an extra measure of grace. And I think about Jesus himself in Luke chapter 22 when he was praying in the garden. He asked the Lord, and asked his father, let this cup pass from me. He went to see about his disciples. They were asleep. He tried to wake them up. He came back. He asked them the same thing. Lord, would you take this cup away from me? Went again, checked on his disciples, came back and asked him the same thing. Father, will you take this cup away from me? So I know that it's all right to ask God. I ask God to bless my children every night. Ask God about some of you every night. How many times have we prayed for individuals in this congregation from this pulpit, how many times have we asked God whenever they're dealing with some treatments for cancer and things? How many times in this pulpit right here have we mentioned the names of those people? So yes, it's all right to be persistent. In Luke 18 and verse 1, read these words. To show that in all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. That's what the whole thing's about. God wants to know, people, that we're serious about our prayers. And how can our prayers influence God if they don't affect us? So absolutely, be persistent in your prayers. And then Jesus goes on to say, be patient, be prayerful, be persistent, but be patient. In verse 9 there he says that, so I say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You see the progression here? You seek for the bread from his friend. He goes and he asks him. And then he knocks on his door when his friend says, I can't. It's a progression here. So should we ask God for what we need? Yes. Yes, we should ask God for what we need. Should we ask God for what we want? Yes. Yes. He's your Father. But now you have to be careful right there. Because you can get into the wanting thing of your prayers and miss out on the real important part. It doesn't hurt to ask God. You must ask God for what you need. And it doesn't. It pleases God when you ask him for something you want. Something that he can give to you. Again, he's a father. If you as father know how to give good things to your children, how much more will God give to you? But again, let me caution you about this wanting thing. Because James chapter 4 verse 3 tells us, your prayers are not answered because you ask amiss and use those things for your own benefit. So we can get into asking for only what we want and our prayers not be answered or by God. But I know just this week, Cammie came to me and she said, I'm making out my Christmas list. She's 4 years old. It's September. And she said, I'm making out my Christmas list. So we can get kind of caught up in this wanting thing too much. But be patient, because God will answer your prayers. Actually, in this verse, very verse right here, and also again there in Matthew, where Matthew's recorded this. Ask and seek and knock are present tense verbs. Actually, present subjective tense verbs, I think. Now, you English teachers, y'all going to have to help me out on that one. But it actually means keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. That's the way the verse really should have been translated. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Because what happens is God will answer our prayers. But we have to be patient. You see, God doesn't look at time like we look at time. It may be 10 years down the road before we realize God answered our prayers 10 years ago. Or it may be 10 years before God answers that prayer we prayed 10 years ago. Time is irrelative to God. Time means so much to us because we have so little of it. Time means so little to God because He has all of it. And 1,000 years is with God like a day. And a day is like 1,000 years. So we have to learn to be patient. So why should we pray? Why should we be persistent? Why should our prayers be fervent? Because God answers them. That's the reason why. Because He answers them. Does He answer all of them yes? No. No, He doesn't answer yes, or yes, He doesn't answer no. God doesn't answer every prayer yes. Some prayers the answer is no. Some prayers the answer is wait a while. Some prayers He says, I'll give you something better than what you ask. Sometimes He says, you don't know what you're asking, so I'll give you something different than what you ask. And we see all of those examples all throughout the Bible. Whenever Jesus asked His Father, let this cup pass from me, God said no. And the reason is because man needs you. He needs you to shed your blood so his sins can be forgiven you. When Paul asked about the thorn, he said no. But I'll give you something better. I'll give you more grace. And so be patient with your prayers. And then finally this morning, be positive. Be positive with your prayers. We have every reason to believe that God will hear our prayers. Because He tells us. He says here in this passage, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? In Matthew 7 it says, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? Earlier we noted that God doesn't answer every prayer yes, but He does answer our prayers. And you have to believe that. In Romans 8 and verse 28, we read there that God causes all things to work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And that if we ask, He will give us the answer to our prayers. So this morning, be prayerful. Be persistent. Be patient and be positive. But by all means, pray to God. People, it is a power. It is a strength. It can give you courage. It can enrich you beyond your wildest dreams. It is a chance that you have to talk to God. The power that spoke and worlds came into being. To talk to God. It's all important for these disciples to learn how to pray, because they were really fixing to face some things. Gethsemane is coming up, the cross, the tomb, the persecutions. All of these were ahead of them, and Jesus knew it. And he knew the only way that they could make it would be to learn to pray. And we've got a lot of things that are happening in our lives. Some things that haven't happened yet that we're going to need him. And we need to learn to pray. Not just how to pray. We need to learn to pray. And it all begins with obedience. You cannot believe in prayer if you do not believe in God and trust him. So this morning, if you haven't made that commitment to God to be his child, come and confess his the name of Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If somewhere, somehow, this old world has gotten to you, things have gotten pretty tough, and you've lost communication with God, and you need to get it back, we're praying for you. Will you come while together we stand and sing?